Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm walking down
Radio, and that song that you just heard was written by Jay Hatter, and the singer and the writer of that music is Shout Even Shy. Always a fabulous way to kick off a show. And I was here with my big brother Hatter. Hey, Hatter.
Hey. What's up?
Hey. And A Team of Voices is a writing group, chat group, radio poetry family that hangs out on allpoetry.com. It's a huge site that you can join for free. And if you join or you're already a member, you can find us listed under the group tab, A Team of Voices. And just knock on the door and I'll meet you there. You can hang out with us. You can participate in the radio or not, as much or as little as you'd like. If you'd like to call in, you can reach us at 1-646-668-2837. Again, that's 1-646-668-2837. And we put the link to the show on that chat wall, and we also put the links to all the poems that you hear on each show so that you can follow along and comment or contribute a poem link and have it read or read it and get some comments. Excuse me. And there's a different topic each week, each day, with each host. There are many hosts that bring you shows here on A Team of Voices. And on that note, I'm going to say that tonight is our first show where we grab one of the poets that have been contributing their poetry to the shows all along, but aren't able to call. And tonight we're featuring Heavenly Angel. And what we did, or what I did, was I dug out 10 lines from some of her poetry and offered them up to the poets, along with art by a new artist I found, Philip Straub. And they were challenged to be inspired by Heavenly Angel's line from her poem, and then find some art that could help them express what they got from her prompt, and dazzle us. And let me tell you, they do, week after week. And speaking of poets who dazzle, let's let a few in, starting with Kay, the owner of A Poetic Slice of Life, and her hubby, Stephen. Hey, you guys. Welcome to the show.
Yeah.
Glad you're here. And I am letting in Raconteur. Hey, Rack.
How you doing?
Welcome to the show. I feel like we just hung up the phone.
Welcome back, my friends, to the show that never ends.
Yeah, I hasn't decided on a permanent ending for that quote when he starts a show yet. Sometimes he says, pretends he knows what he's doing, but.
I sort of like where we could pretend to be someone we're not.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the best I can think of.
Nah, that's a good one, but the trouble when you pretend to be someone you're not is twofold, I think. Sometimes you lose who you were to begin with yourself, and two, if you're pretending, you're also, whether they be little white lies or not, you're lying, and then you got to keep track of lies, so just be real. Yeah, no? Anyway, I know that some stuff's going on, so I want to grab Kay's poem, because I know that for one thing, her hubby's got to get up in the morning. And still doing them clam things, the clam bake, Stephen, or are they finally done?
Mm-hmm. No, they'll go through Halloween, at least, with a few stragglers in November.
Mm-hmm. And I would imagine that once you put that shucker away, you don't want to hear about another clam until next year. Okay, where is my, here it is. Okay, sorry, I couldn't find my topic board. And then I clicked on mine instead of Kay's, because usually Kay's is the first one. I don't very often put them there, so I just automatically clicked without looking. Now, again, I say we are kicking off poetry written to art and combined with some amazing pieces from Heavenly Angel's poetry. And as we quite often do, we're going to kick off the show right now with Kay. So, Kay, take us away, please.
Okay. I chose the quote, "Cries of the mountain echo on the wind." And I call us amethyst illusions, embargoes, catacombs. School of oracles, latchkey breath, the steps terribly weak, strings how they weep, gold not to shine as colonial heights, souvenirs it's gilded. The trees, oh how lush and miles of eloquence, tiered and towering numericals, library chimes and patriarchal chamomile tea, cellars stained, harbors pensions, end poem.
Okay, before I comment, look at that teapot.
Yep. That's cool.
Like amazing. Okay. Is it a teapot or a candle? Or irregardless, it is awesome. And that looks like it's brass, the plate that's on. So talk about intricate. Okay, I just totally got lost. That's mm-hmm. awesome. Look at those details. Man, oh, man. Okay. Now, back to the amazing poem, because I really like the title, Amethyst Illusions Embargoes. I can't say that. I don't know it. Cataclysmic. Amethyst Illusions Embargoes Cataclysmic. There you go. I don't know why it wouldn't come out the first time, but stellar title there. Wow. And I like the thought of the glow of oracles, because the art that you put there in the middle is so ornate that it could be something that would be by the mighty oracle, and ties it back to the art that you chose as well, because, I mean, look at that mega winged creature. Anyway, the gold naught to shine as colonial heights, souvenirs, it's gilding. Souvenirs, like for a minute there I was picturing like the deer with the antlers mounted on the wall, like the souvenir of its guilt. So like I had all kinds of things going through my mind. And then the end there, the trees, oh, how lush and miles of eloquence. I really liked the sound of that. And then it takes us to that chamomile tea, which is what had me, you know, thinking teapot. I mean, I keep going back to the dang art, and it's really about the poetry, which is an excellent brevity. I say this far too often, but it doesn't, I mean, I'm always in awe of the metaphors, always. And when you go back, you're like, oh, wow, how clever is she? But it's just like, metaphor queen, I say. She's been crowned. It's just a fact. Great share, Kay. Heather, what you think? Oh, hold on for 1 second with that thought, and let me let David in first. Welcome to the show, David. We've missed you. It's been a while.
Hi, Deb.
Yeah, glad you're here.
Well, yes, I'm sorry. Well, I'm glad I am, too.
And I'm just about to get Hatter to comment for Kay. So sit back and enjoy the show, and I will get you out before 8:30 your time. Hatter.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
great.
You.
Like you said, great lines. Yeah, when you post a picture like that, you do take the chance of it, because that is an awesome looking picture. The Halloween numericals, great line. Very strong with the metaphors. Latchkey breath, terribly weak. I'm just fascinated over that picture and the words you put to it. Very good. I want one of those.
I know, right? It's really, really cool. I mean, it could even be an incense burner or something. It's just really, really awesome.
Yeah.
But anyway, let's see what back into her thought, please.
Oh, it sounds like it might even be a genie lamp from the way you guys are tripping all over it. You know, you rub it and the smoke comes out and the genie grants your wish. I don't know. I don't know what you're looking at, unfortunately, but I am carried away by the words themselves. So I'm not distracted at all by your lovely artwork, damn you. The amethyst illusions, you know, that in itself, you know, sends my mind tumbling in 100 different directions. I love that expression, you know, and it does kind of lend itself to the closing thought of the chamomile tea too, because tea has a color to it, and, you know, one kind of ties into the other. But, you know, the other thing about chamomile tea, it's soothing and comforting. So it laces a thought throughout the whole piece that is really just kind of amazing. You know, like everyone's saying about your metaphors, you know, you're on a definite trip, and you know, I'm getting the colors and the soothingness of it, and it's really a fantastic illusion. A fun trip, Kay. Thank you.
Awesome comment. And David, did you get to hear Kay read, or did you get here after?
I got in there a little afterwards, but I've read this once before, and I was pretty impressed with it. I think it's pretty fascinating reading, really. And I'm sorry, I had another call coming in. I had to get rid of it. I like the very next to the last line there, library chimes and patriarchal chamomile tea. You know, when we think about a library, when you're in the middle of one, it's pretty calm and everybody just minding their own business, and, you know, it'd probably be a good place to take naps. And chamomile tea is, like someone else said earlier, pretty much of a calming ingredient in itself. And I like the way Kay put the two together. It says library chimes in patriarchal chamomile tea, something that Dad would serve you, perhaps. I don't know. I like this a lot. I thought it was really a really cool poem. The storyline in it is fascinating. Kind of reminds me of some of the stuff I've read. This vessel on the bottom here, I told Kay in my comments to her, it reminds me of some sort of a vessel that came out of H.P. Lovecraft's Cthulhu mythos, with the tentacles and all that stuff on it, and the weird engraving work up on the lid of it. I think this is a really cool poem. I think you did a really good job on it, Kay, and I love the whole piece.
Thank you.
Fantastic comment. Now I have to say, I hate to do this again, but, like, Kay, I couldn't help myself. I saw your comment in the author's notes about having the reference for it, and also I went and did the thing, and it turns out that it's a piece that they consider steampunk, which is really cool, and that it is more of an heirloom, priceless kind of thing, because you would buy this item at a jewelry store. And for raconteur, if you picture a tea kettle or a teapot, but not, sitting on a brass plate, and all around it, it's got like tentacles rather than handles, yet the tentacles have a forked tongue at the end. And then towards the top, right under the lid, it's got like a glow, like glowing eyes, or so it's really, mm-hmm. really a stunning piece. And the art that she paired it with is like this giant skeletal god thing with a glow and wings. And then tie that mm-hmm. both of those pieces along with the quote that she chose, and she like knocked this out of the park. It's really, really cool. Anyway, how about if we get a comment for her from her hubby?
I like this a lot, and I'm not sure, because I know you've been writing a lot about our Sunday drives, and I think this was one of them, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe to the harbor to see all the drawbridges?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, I think. but, yeah, I think that it's so cool where you've been getting your inspiration from, and I think that you're right, fits the prompt perfectly, and also mingling in parts of life and nature and the arts. So, yeah, I think it's great.
Thank you.
Yep. And if I may, the picture, I think it's like the guy from Pirates of the Caribbean with the tentacle face. You know what I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's true. They could be sort of like some wild dreadlocks, too. And well, it's just like, talk about starting a conversation with a piece that's added to the middle of a poem. Yeah, but it says steampunk light, so it's obviously some kind of light, but it's anyway. Kay's probably thinking, I'm going to shrink that so it doesn't take the attention away from my poem again. Because, like, the poem's awesome. I love the glow of oracles right from the get-go. just that line's perfect for this. So it's just like just more proof what did I call it in my comment? The mighty queen of metaphor. So, yeah, hallelujah. So, Stephen, do you want to tell us what's happening over at A Poetic Slice of Life before you read your poem?
Sure, I can do that. Let's see. Our next show is The Poetic Inklings on Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern. And that one we are going to feature quotes from the movie and the book from Bram Stoker, The Lair of the White Worm. So check that out for your quotes. Got some interesting ones there to write to inspire your pen. Let's see, Movement of Sound is on Thursday, also 7:30 p.m. Eastern, and we're going to celebrate Tom Petty. So we got songs. We're going to learn about songs from Tom Petty. We're going to listen to them, and we'll read some poems by those songs.
Mm.
Yeah. For the week, except for Saturday.
I don't know what's going on.
I'm not sure. But it might be, Sky might be on Saturday at 8 p.m. with Little Monsters.
Oh, yeah. Cool. Well, that sounds awesome. And Hatter, you're going to have to remember they're putting your boy out there. He got to write for Tom Petty. And Stephen, if you see your poem, will you go ahead and read for us? Will you start with the quote that you chose, please?
Yeah, I wanted to start with the quote that I chose because I felt that it fit. Because when I saw the picture, this painting, I automatically went to a certain movie. I just couldn't help it. And then when I saw the quote, "Drowning in an inky ocean of blackness and void, my only companions are the distant stars," I felt that it fit the main character's obsession as well in the movie. So yeah, that's why I went this direction. And I call it "Lights and Music in the Head Does Let One Know to Never Dread." Of mashed potato mountaintops, a tower whole kernel corn, molded creamy shaving balm upon a palm so worn. Mud and shrubs and chicken wire creased with cultivator prongs, newsfeed prompts to chop the peak to hear the subspace songs. For at the base of the devil tower, where runway's lights do stream, tinted tones of code does speak and pulls us to the seam. End poem.
Wow. I have to say I agree that I can talk usually. They all tie in together really well, but the art, the gift, the quote, the poem, the title, "Lights and Music in the Head Does Let One Know How to Never Dread." And it's like there's something about just the title, because like if you can keep music in your head, I mean, there's something about you get up in the morning and you jump in the shower and then you turn the radio on, and the radio and the music, to me, just put you in a better mood. So the "Lights and Music in the Head," I thought was really awesome there. Anyway, how cool. Of mashed potato mountaintops, that tower, whole kernel corn. I'm almost cracking up at those damn mashed potatoes. I mean, how many jokes and stuff were told over mashed potatoes from that movie? And it's something that people never forget. Do you think that they ever imagine it would be an icon as much as it is? Anyway, molded creamy shaving balm upon a palm so worn. Great image there. Down towards, it says, for at the base of the devil tower, where runway lights do stream. I'm like, talk about a scary place. And when you look into that art that you put underneath, the lights there sort of look like a face. So the devil tower and the runway lights, I mean, I think that you did really great. And of course, it's another brevity that you know, pulling in the tens with the brevities, it's really impressive. It's an awesome share, and I appreciate you. And let me get you some comments. Hatter, what you think?
Yeah, great. Great movie. It did well describing what was going on with your gifts there. Yeah, who hasn't built the Devil's Tower in the middle of their living room? That's a great scene where Terry Garr packs up the kids and leaves. He's building the tower, she's packing up the kids to get the hell away from him. And yeah, that bottom boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. Thanks, Adam.
Great. You think it'll ever happen that way? Yeah. Think it'll ever happen that way? They'd show up and communicate.
Yeah.
We'd be lucky. Be lucky if it does. It'll freak people out, man.
Right. Well, how about we
I think
a quote from? How about we get a quote from David?
Well, I like that. First of all, I was a big fan of this movie, and I was fascinated with it from start to finish. I think Richard Dreyfuss did a really good job building his mashed potatoes towers and his shaving cream stuff and the giant mud tower in the middle of his living room. I think that your poem illustrates parts of this real well. Stephen, and I like the way it reads of mashed potatoes, mountaintops, the tower, whole kernel of corn, molded creamy shaving balm upon a palm so worn. Yeah, this is pretty cool. I like that you put that bottom photo in with it. It sort of ties it all together, or GIF, I guess is what it really is. You know, I would, if this were really true, I would give all the tea in China to be up there watching this whole thing go down, and you made it seem very real with your poem, and I thought you did justice to the prompt as well, so nice going.
Thank you, Dave.
Awesome. Comment and raconteur?
My warped brain went all over the place. It's hard for me sometimes. I heard the mashed potatoes, and I thought of Animal House more than anything. I don't have the benefit of seeing which movie you were talking about. I had snippets of everything you can imagine, but probably what you were talking about. You know, the music
Close
in the head.
Encounters.
Which one?
Close Encounters.
Close Encounters of the third kind, or.
Okay. Oopsie. Oh. Yeah.
Never
wow.
Mind.
It's been a long time since I saw that. Yeah. I could tell, you know, that the scenes that you're writing to at least a little bit, you know, the emotion behind them, and that was kind of the driving force, I think. It wasn't that you were narrating a story. You were kind of molding your own out of what you saw. In your own way, and that's what I like that you do all the time. You know, just repeat what it is that you see. You'll take bits of it and you'll reword it in a different way. Not so much Cliff Notes, but you know, Stephen Notes.
Thanks, Rick.
Way cool. And I would like to say hello to AP from Oz, who's on a. In a different country at the moment. Hey, AP, welcome to the show.
Hi, Deb from Singapore. How are you?
I'm doing well. Glad you're here. And looks like Sweet's right behind you. Hey, Sweet.
Hey, darlings. How are you?
I'm okay. Glad you're here. I don't know if anybody else heard Stevens.
I did.
AP?
I did.
I was in the plane.
Really do. I was in the plane, and you could go and do whatever you wanted to hear in terms of new movies and everything else. I watched Close Encounters of the Third Kind on the way up from Melbourne to Singapore 2 days ago, because it's such a bloody brilliant movie, and I love it. And I agree with you. That image looks like bloody Devil's Tower, it really does, and I still sit and watch that last 15 minutes of Closing Down for the third time, and it still gets me. I still tear up. And it's such a brilliant movie, and it's such a brilliantly well-done film, and I love the poem. I really do. I think it's a great poem.
Thank you.
And I am going to okay. I got to stop goofing off because I got a whole lot of poems on there. So if you guys would click on my poem, I will read that. And I'm looking for the quote that I chose. I don't know what I did with. Okay, so where did it go? Let's try that again. Or did I just look in the wrong room? Oh, boy. Okay, here we go. There's the poem. And the quote that I chose was number two. Your voice is the balm to my aching soul. In silence, it speaks to me. And obviously, the art I chose is on the page. So it is called In Nightmares with Fire Pits and Death. And here we go. Soot ash gray on the periwinkle display blocks the sun, masking the neon shine. The head that clouds, stained charcoal, hover over, rotating and hissing, is mine. Gusts of the rotations toss roof shingles, rattle the shutters, and tip cypress trees. Ebony and black aubergine cover blues, spitting fire from the roars in the breeze. Neath the cloak of darkness, flames rise, igniting the blaze for the fire pit to death. Burnt hair cologne floats over the hot air, whirling in the smoke that chokes breath. Drowning from darkness neath eyelashes and rage fuels the chaos that circles me. Now the ache that stirs inside me throbs, but light trails, and hazel green eyes see. Then as the silence speaks from the wind in a voice that chases the brewing storm, shrouds part, clearing the path into sleep with the lights on, in bed, warm, and calm.
We'll leave the lights on.
Yeah.
Yep.
Stephen, what do you think?
Well, this has got so much darkness in it. At first, it had me thinking of somebody who was extremely angry, who is yelling loud enough to cause the roof shingles to peel off the roof. But as you get into the bottom in the last stanza and it kind of ties everything together, it makes me think of a hell of a nightmare. And you wake up snug in your bed and warm. That's kind of where the imagery ended up taking me on quite a roller coaster ride, actually, before it got there. And I like the rhyme and flow as well. It's very well done, Deb.
Thank you, Stephen. Appreciate that.
Ready to go.
Is Casey with you? Casey, are you taking off?
No, I'm still
Night,
here.
Night, Stephen.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah, I'll leave my comment and then we can talk about. But, yeah, I like how this reads because of I like the author's tone. It's true that stress can keep one awake, but sometimes also an overactive mind that won't be silent keeps one awake, too, because for me that's always the case, which is why I'm always running in many directions until I finally pass out. But I like how you speak about the imagery to emotion. I like the closing scene, but because for me that holds the higher priority of feeling and taking center stage with the right stuff, the wonderful thing.
Thank you, Kay. Appreciate that. And you get some rest, too, and we'll talk to you guys later. Appreciate you both.
Thanks, guys.
Good night. So Deb, the author that sometimes stress makes it too hard to sleep, is that part of the quote you added that on?
That's my recap, synopsis, meaning, where my head was at. I was in a nightmare, and then I got a good night's sleep for the first time in a long time recently. So just where the quote took me.
That doesn't feel good. I guess he goes to... Yeah, it does sound a bit darker. Is that influenced by the people you hang with?
No, it's influenced by stress, hence the comment in the author's note.
Okay. Yeah, another great picture.
But on that note,
let's
move to the next poem.
Okay.
From Singapore. And there you are. Take us away.
There I am. Well, I was just going to say, that poem, though, of yours, Deb, reminded me of, the whirling dervishes. You know how they sort of whirl all the time and then get clarity and peace and calm from swirling. It sort of reminded me of that, if that makes any sense. Anyway, there you go. This is a poem that appeared only in the last 25 minutes there. This is Minarets and Spires. It's number 28, and it goes a little bit like this. Carved stone reaches out toward fine minarets and spires among, stretching into cloudy skies, shadows jostling as hung. Onto wavy grasses they rise, while stars beyond neatly strung. Mountains stand tall beyond fjords, snow-capped peaks by shroud. Their cliffs and crags arise to the absence of the proud. Within lie icy passes, cold plies, as the nebula sits circling cowed. As people humble the world accords, its glories lie around and within, with majesties and gifts surprise, inside walls providing skin. No matter classes, lives arise, angels walk as one amongst kin. End poem.
Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, for starters, I really, really like that title. But did you happen to read the quote you wrote, too, at the beginning? I was reading a message, and I don't know if you did before I finished.
I didn't, but I will.
Please.
Quoted, and that is, somewhere over the horizon you dance with angels among the clouds.
I've never heard cowed used that way. Is that?
A little English. A little English. I had it, but, cowed is
beaten down.
Sort of, you know, get out of the way, you know, just sit there and we'll get other things happening,
okay.
You know, cowed.
Yeah. Get out of the way.
Yeah.
It's a problem with cows. You're stuck in between them. No kidding.
They're on the horn of a dilemma, Hatter. But yeah, no cows.
Oh, no.
God.
Oh,
God.
I'm Hatter, I'm glad you asked the question, because, I'm sitting there and I kept talking, and every time I did, you would say something, and I'm like, what is wrong with this phone? Why is he talking? And then here, the other phone died, and I had to call in on the new one, and I never unmuted myself. Okay. Now, I didn't hear anything I said, and I hate when that happens, because then you might accidentally say other stuff. I mean, you know, forget to say something brilliant.
It's always the most profound thing you say.
Huh?
Okay.
It's always the most profound thing you can say is the one you say to a mute button.
Mm-hmm. I know, and it happens, and then you know how sometimes you in your mind you said it, so then you forget to say it,
or even do
stuff. You walk into a room to do something, and then the phone rings or whatever, and because you walked into that room, you sort of remember going there to do it, and then you get back into the room, and you're like, damn, I thought I did this. Anyway, I keep getting sidetracked tonight. What the hell? Sorry.
I got to walk away. I got to walk away for 2 minutes, but I will be listening, and I'll be right back.
Okay. I want to get these comments because there's a storm moving in on AP, and I'm just like, I keep getting sidetracked. But I like the motion throughout the poem because, with the stuff I saw, carved stone reaches out towards fine minarets and spires among it. The classic wording there is really awesome, stretching into cloudy skies. So there's like motion and movement that matches. And in the middle, mountains stand tall beyond fjords, snow-capped peaks by shroud. Their cliffs and crags arise. It's like, and there was, I'm still trying to place what was in your voice when you were reading. as people humble a world of chords that glories lie around and within of majesty and gifts a prize. I mean, that's gorgeous with the thought of the gifts a prize. So, like, no matter classes, lives arrive, angels walk as one amongst kin. I absolutely love the ending, and it goes perfectly with the art and the quote. You know, I like the one that you chose. This came out really awesome, and it's. I'm also getting a kick out of the form, the look of the poem, how you carry it downwards towards the left, and then a whole line. It pulls the eye in, sort of its own spire there, but sideways. Really cool, Cher. And I'm sure I said better stuff while I was wondering why Heather was interrupting me. Anyway, great. Great poem. And how about David? Can you comment for us, please? David, are you muted? I just was.
Yeah, I was. I apologize. I like the sequencing in this poem. It starts out talking about the description of the city and the minarets and spires and that, and then how they reach towards the cloudy skies. Then it starts talking about the surroundings. Mountains stand tall beyond fjords, snow-capped peaks by shroud, their cliffs and crags arise to the absence of a crowd. That's some nice wording in there, AP. While I icy paths as cold plies as the nebulous sit circling cowed, and then you kind of get out of the last stanza there, and it talks about the people in the city. I think this is a really nice description of the prompt, and it was enjoyable to listen to you read it too.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome comment. And Raconteur?
Yeah, I thank God that the minute you heard you were dancing with angels, you went all genteel. Then, you know, what are the setting but the stars and the countryside to dance with an angel. So, you know, you really worked that well into the whole thought of this overall image. Just lovely movement like Deb mentioned, and, fantastic wording, you know. You got the language down. And I think you already know that, which is why you have an ego, deservedly so.
Cool comment. And what did you say the tone was in his voice? Because of the angels?
Oh, it was kind of celestial because, you know, once he knew he was going to be dancing with an angel, he went all, you know, in the stars and galaxy and countryside, and because what other backdrop can you dance, you know, if you're going to be with an angel?
Yeah, go with it.
Cool. And great comment. And let me see here. How about if before you read your suite, you give us a comment for AP?
Mine would definitely be, if this is heaven, I want to go to the palace and dance. Because I love your description. I love the essence of everything that there's a certain essence in the word, and there's a certain essence in the voice that it just kind of charming and elegant. If this is heaven, I want to go to the palace and wear that.
Oh, it was just good fun. It just came, and the thing that I like following Rap's comment, because I'm allowed to do an ego comment once in a while, is the fact that it internally rhymes between stanzas. Did you notice that? So lines 1, 3, 5, and 6 all rhyme within the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. So it doesn't only rhyme within the poem, it rhymes within the stanzas, which I kind of like, but that's just me. Anyway, I'm going to go now because I will go and find something else to write.
Enjoy. Thanks, AP.
Thanks for having me.
Enjoy your time, Susan. Thanks for calling.
Thank you. Talk soon.
All right, Deb,
okay.
I don't have my picture on my poem, so if you want to put that up, I'd appreciate it because the picture is beautiful. And I just can't coordinate myself to do that right now, and I, just because of where I am.
Oh, no, no problem. Did you go with the second one I gave you or the one from the chat wall? I didn't look at it yet. Oh, okay. You went with the picture that you posted.
Yeah, the one from the chat wall. Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, the whole drugging does not help me, but the poem I did. So.
It will be there in half a second. I am pushing it right now.
Okay, so the font.
Go.
Okay. So this is called Queen Mary to the beautiful ship picture. I wrote to the cardinal. By heavenly angel, cries of demented souls echo on the wind. I really love that quote, by the way. This is called the Queen Mary. Shards of glass and champagne bubbles explode as sailors inhale the sense of salty. The wind and pick up speed and snow white sail whistle their song. In grandiose style, the great Queen Mary glided out of Scalpel Harbor. She played for weeks in the gentle waves of a blue-eyed mermaid splash. They danced between sunny days and superstition called when ravens cawed one morning in the wooden hall where no land was found to surround them. Poe's death birds chant to souls bound to earth. Arise. From the depths of light came the sword of night, and the ocean spun in the confusion of blindness, as water waves and violent sprays hissed in unkindness. The Queen Mary dipped 10,000 fathoms, and her sails held high, and the ocean spit her purity above the sea. As she spun from stern to bow, she held herself. The headlines read, all were dead on the Queen Mary. Not a splinter found. Let sailors tell another tale. For late at night, they say for sale. Lies to be and call.
Let's see if I can have this conversation with the live audience instead of my mute button this time. Sweet, I love the way you dug into this. Shards of glass and champagne bubbles explode from her bow as sailors inhale the scent of salty sea. And the thought there, the shards of glass, is, I guess, you know, like that christening where they break it over there. That's what popped into my mind there. And then the wind began to pick up speed and snow white sails whistled their song. Just the images right there are like stellar. You can almost hear that whooshing whistle in the wind, in grandiose style. I like the wording there. Towards the center, superstition called when ravens called one morning from the wooden hall. How about that rhyme, Hatter? Where no land was found to surround them, Poe's death bird chant to souls. Bond to Earth's horizon. I think that's my favorite stanza, and I love that it's Poe's death bird. That's really clever. and then towards the end, second to the last, the Queen Mary dipped 10,000 fathoms, but her sails held high and the ocean spit her purity high above the sea. And she spun from the stern to bow. She held herself together. Just the thought there of it splashing and crashing on the waves and being drowned, I think that you did an amazing job with all the details and stuff, but I also think that you approached it in a way to give mega respect to this vessel, which I found really cool. Amazing share, sweet. Let me get you some comments, and please look in your inbox before you sign out after your comments. Let me start with Robin.
More, everybody, if you want.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Start with me. Oh man, I I'd love to go on a cruise with you, even one like this. I love the way you write. And this is no exception. I see so many parallels to relationships, the way you're describing the ship and the journey itself and the tossing of the sea and everything, but that's, I can probably drag everything in into some kind of a this, that, and the other as far as emotions go. So, you do an amazing job with the imagery from the beginning to the end. Like Deb mentioned, the champagne on the christening the bow of the boat itself, and then, the boat surviving the ocean and even then, despite getting tossed around and everything, I just see so many parallels to life and the things we go through almost day to day sometimes that, it's supposed to be an ocean voyage, but, it's no vacation. You did a great job with this, sweet.
Yeah, darling.
Awesome. Rack and Hatter. Are you back?
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
Did you hear something?
I didn't hear it, but I was rereading it. I just sat down, but I had to get Joy off to work. I like the rhyming in it. She I don't know if anybody else, but she broke off when I was listening to it, and that's what I was sort of counting on because I wasn't able to follow. But the strong writing. Rhyming. I heard it. Heard you read it.
Awesome comment. I forgot that you had stepped away during it, and I even said as I was commenting, "How about that rhyme in there, Hatter?" And I quoted one of the lines. I knew you would enjoy them. David, will you comment for Sweet? David, are you muted?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't hear you, Deb. You're not coming in real loud, clear sometimes, to me anyway. Oh, I really like this, sweet. I'm a big fan of maritime tales and superstitions and stuff. One thing that I noticed, I don't know if you did this intentionally or not, but even if you didn't, I'm going to point it out. The center stanza says, "Superstition called when ravens caught one morning from the wooden hull, where no land was found to surround them. Post-death birds chant his soul's bond to earth's horizons. From the depths of light came the sword of night, and the ocean spun in confusion of blindness as the water waves in violent sprays hissed in unkindness." A gathering of ravens is also called an unkindness. And I don't know if you put those in there together or not. Okay. Well, now you do.
No idea.
Okay. Well, that's cool. I really like this a lot. I thought you did an excellent job in spinning a tale like this. It's fabulous. I like some of the references that you put in there as to fathoms. Fathom is 6 feet. And so... 10,000 fathoms, I'd be 60,000 feet down. But her sails held high, and the ocean spit her purity high above the sea, and she spun from stem to bow, stern to bow. She held herself together. Fabulous story. I really like this. You did really good on it.
Thank you.
Awesome comments, everyone. And Dave, before you read, Sweet, did you say that you wanted to say something?
Yeah, I just want to apologize that I have not did not do a show last week. I will not do a show this week. I am currently in the hospital right now. Having some problems with my heart, arrhythmia. They're working it out. Hopefully I'll be back to myself in a couple of days. I just really apologize for letting everybody down.
You never let us down, Sweet. Life always comes first, and taking care of you is a priority over any show, any day, ever. But I hope that they quickly figure everything out for you and get you back home. And I'm sure that the stress that you're dealing with isn't helping. But there's not a lot you can do about it, but try to take care of you. And when it gets crazy, pick up the phone, and I can remind you how much you're loved and make you laugh and stuff like that. And, you know, at least I can try like hell to just pick up the phone.
You can make a ton of pictures of you in the hospital gown on eBay, by the way.
No.
Oh, my goodness.
This coming from a blind guy, right? You gonna buy one?
even the blind guy's gonna spend some money on that. That's right.
Okay.
Trying to see if there's braille pictures in the picture. He's all wet, right? He'll see with his finger.
All right, Lois. I really just want to apologize. Sorry, my heart decided to go beat, and then beat 1,000 miles, and then stop beating, and then beat 1,000 miles an hour. So. We're just going to deal with that.
Yeah, you deal with that. Stop apologizing. And I'll check on you. And I love you. And rest. Rest. We'll okay. Talk soon.
All right, bye-bye. Love you all. Bye.
Night, doll.
Bye. Sweet.
Night.
Good night.
Good night.
Okay, David. Night. I feel like saying good night, Mary Ellen. Good night, John Boy. David, I know you still have some time left, but I just want to make sure that yours is read. So will you go ahead and take us away?
Okay. I didn't quite know what to make of this prompt, but it kind of spoke to me a little, so I went ahead with it. It's called The Maker of Angels. And Angel's prompt I chose was, somewhere over the horizon you dance with angels among the clouds. And it sounds like this. From a sapphire-lit sea, emerging woman taken before her time stands before the portal, open to only those worthy to see it. Its dazzling cross-star purity chases shadows of doubt as they scurry away across her features. Her humility questions her worthiness. Entering this kingdom, only to be called by the queen of the angelic gentry. You can see her if you believe. Ghostly, diaphanous, her proof marks tattooed in holy writ upon her forehead, her infinite eyes glowing in iceberg polar purity of reflected blues from time's appetite upon space. She is ageless, not of the universe as we know it. For my queen said unto me, David, my man, I know not this woman. She is not of my universe. She is some holy gentry. She has spoken to me, but I have not understood her until today. She told me I have but to step through the portal in my choosing. I believe we are seeing the angel maker, my queen. I have not loved you long enough to let you pass through the portal yet. We were witness to a young woman, my queen told me, taken in violence before her time. And so she stands before the portal, part in hand. The queen of angels spoke to her, saying, pass through the portal, my child. Thy purity of heart makes thee worthy all on its own. Your untimely passing overrides any doubts the oracle may have take your place as one of my angels, for thee has such an exalted place with us. This so affected the Dark Mother that she wept upon my shoulder. How beautiful, David. The Dark Mother's tears wet upon my shoulder as she spoke to me, her tears glistening into diamond frost, warm to my touch. The Queen of Angels spoke to us, David, you and your Dark Queen are welcome to witness the baptism of my eternal angels forevermore. Ye are both welcome to enter the portal at your choosing. David William has done well with you. He has taught you the meaning of love and compassion and of the sciences you have taught him. God bless you both. I woke up to the smell of gunpowder and cotton candy within my bedroom. I love you, David, fused into the glass on my bedroom window. End poem.
Oh, I like how it ends with the gunpowder and cotton candy scent. Ooh, ooh, la, la. And then the tenderness, of course, of the I love you, David William. But back. As one of my angels, for thee has such an exalted place with us. There was like this oozing of respect that came out of that stanza. And I know I'm quoting backwards, but I can't help it. We were witness to a young woman, my queen told me, taken in violence before her time, and so she stands before the portal. And there's such a sadness there at that thought for her. And from the very beginning, the maker of angels, I love the title, and then open to only those worthy to see it. It's a dazzling cross star. Purity. I really love the idea that it only opens for those worthy to see it, and then you look up into the picture and it's open for her. You can tell by like the light in the center and stuff. So I really think that there was an underlining tenderness all through it. And then where was it? Right after the other one, heart in hand, the Queen of Angels spoke to her, saying, pass through the portal. And just the thought there that, you know, she got to go through the portal was like uplifting. So it's like you packed a whole bunch of emotions through this, and I think that you did a really awesome job. And I really, really, like I said from the beginning, I love that it ends with the thought of the scent of the gunpowder and cotton candy. That was a nice touch. Between the quote and the art and the story and including Dark Mother. And there's, I don't know why, but because of the pastel colors in there, you almost picture the cotton candy too. So it's sort of, the picture sort of brought that cotton candy to mind. And then, you know, I don't know, but it came out really cool. And I think you did a great job. And let me get you some comments. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, I see it in the picture, also the angel maker, the portal there. That was a good way to imply. Also, let's see, it was down, it's about time's appetite upon space. Man, that's a very worthy line. If time can be eaten, stay with me here. If time can be eaten, there is no way you could say nothing is impossible. Just because we are stuck in a plane of certain physics and science doesn't mean that anything can be anything anywhere else.
That's
so
right.
Heaven could exist in without a problem. As there's a place where all our dreams go. They are not wasted.
Yeah.
It got me inspired, man. It was very good.
Thank you. Thank you, Hatter. I appreciate it.
Fabulous comment, Hatter. And Raconteur?
Yeah, if you could spend time, you could certainly eat it. I mean, I like, you know, how you have your world with the Dark Mother and you wove that into the story. It created a beautiful jumping off point. And the concept of the Maker of Angels, you know, the, you could take that phrase, I think, two different ways. And I like the angle that you took with it. And like Deb mentioned, the gunpowder and cotton candy, if I remember right, that's kind of a running thing with you. You mentioned that somewhere else, and it recurs every once in a while. So, you know, to be able to include it, I think, was just, you know, gravy for you. But I like things like that, you know. The idea of it, you know, it's something not so much that you kind of rely on, but it just enforces the thought, you know. To me, it's like it's not that it's recurring because you're repeating it; it's recurring because you can't avoid it, and that's the idea that comes to mind with the way that you repeat it. I thought it was great.
Thank you. Well, it's the gunpowder and cotton candy is the Dark Mother's perfume, and so whenever you smell it, you know she's new. Thank you, Brad.
I knew you mentioned it before, so yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Thank you.
Yeah, I think he invented that scent for her quite a year. Has it been 5 whole years by now? I think that we've all started to buy that. Yeah, and if I remember correctly, somewhere in your files there, you even found a bottle and called it her perfume and wrote this. So I mean, sometimes it's so elaborate how you treat her and write about her that it's like, you know, it sticks with people like her gunpowder and cotton candy cologne. Anyway,
sweet
coffee. And let me see here. Okay. The next poem on the board is by Titus, and I have a recording. So if you guys would click on that poem, I will push play. You see the poem?
Yeah.
Soul synchrony.
Actually, I stopped it for just a second because I don't. If he did do it, then it's fine. We'll hear it twice. But just in case he didn't, he wrote to. Of course, the art you'll see in the link. But he wrote to prompt 7, cries of demented souls echo on the wind. Of course, by Heavenly Angel. Okay, now I will push it.
Soul synchronicity. A diaphanous languor has been used in praise to help another soul towards the upper reaches, the cries of demented souls. You will be amazed how syzygy serves love's belonging. It impeaches sensitivity, aquamarine radiance once it is glazed. Quadrivian intersects 4 paths short of glory, all for the good. Our passing from the next stage, breezing through, it searches our very own story of past and future glories. Being from that age, opal dreams appeal to an affectionate mandatory. A second path appears to be of confined divinely, peace-like sibilance. Hangs embellished panacea to belie the mordant manner one can generally define perfection in the way we place an idea almost heavenly in shape to describe supinely. Apricot and almond almost blend with felicity, subsisting with the gods of happiness and glee, auspiciousness in kind with mindful simplicity. Absconds with tranquility, urging as a devotee, for whom radiance in wonder is synchronicity.
Well, is it me, or did he again pick amazing background music? It sort of had this like haunting feel or tranquil mixed with I don't know, it had like a floating sense to it. Anyway, the poem. Oh, and on a side note, I know that he had recorded and then accidentally erased it and then went and did it again and re-recorded it for the show. So thank you for that. It's always so much better to hear it by the poet. And if he hadn't been able to get to the recording, I might just have sat on it until next week when he could, because it's never the same anymore to not hear it in his voice. And wow, like what was that? Right in the beginning, soul towards the upper reaches, the cries of demented souls. You will be amazed. I liked how the demented souls was intertwined in there from the inspirational quote by Angel. Breezing through it, it searches our very own story of past and future glories. Being from that age, opal dreams appeal to an affectionate mandatory. I like that image there of the opal dreams and an affectionate mandatory. I like that as well. A second path appears to be confined divinely. Peace-like sibilance hangs embellished. I mean, talk about delicate yet breathtaking images through here. And I think I'm really, really loving the last one because I feel like I'm getting a inhale, exhale sense, and it's got like a treat for the senses there. And apricot and almond almost blend with felicity, subsisting with the gods of happiness and glee. And there's something, well, personally, I love the smell of almond. So for me, like I said, my first thought there was, and then the thought of it being tied to happiness and glee is really, really cool. Auspiciousness and kind with mindful simplicity. Oh, and okay, I know I'm still in the whole stanza. I can't help it. Abscond with tranquility, urging as a devotee for whom radiance and wonder is synchronicity. I like how the end ties it back to the title. I think, like I said, there was, maybe it was Ursaril, the feel that you got from the music in the background and the tone that he set with his words. And in case anyone didn't know, the sibilance is the sound of silence. So it's an absolutely breathtaking piece that goes perfectly with the art and the quote. And I'm always impressed. And like I said, it's better by the poet, and I love listening to his voice. Fabulous job, and thank you again for re-recording it, Tony. I appreciate that very much. Hatter, what did you think?
Yeah, another great piece by Titus. I mean, the true wizard of words. I'm glad I wouldn't have to try to read this. I would have got through it, but I'd have stumbled many times. You know, if you compare the depth of the well, he draws his words from mind the ditch. And I must say, I didn't know the word sibilance is that the sound of silence is sibilance. Ever since Wayne's World and Tom Hanks was in the setting up Aerosmith on the mics going sibilance. I knew it was a musical term, but I didn't know that's what it was. That's beautiful. Nice job.
Great comment. And David, what do you think?
Well, I have to agree with a lot of what Hatter had to say about this poem. It's just a treasure trove of words, that some of which I haven't even heard of before. I had to go look up some of them. But it makes for fascinating reading. And the very ethereal sound of this poem, no matter who reads it, would come across that way because of the way it's written. I really enjoyed it. I agree with Hatter. I don't pluck words out of the thin air like this. Maybe once
Raconteur, what did you think?
Yeah, I mean, it's easy to say that Titus leaves you speechless. I personally, you know, when he touches on ideas like the dementia and dreams, you know, I tend to latch on to things like that because I find that most relatable. But, you know, there's so much more to this. And, you know, you talk about his vernacular. Words like, what was the word? He used a word that abscond, you know, it's almost like, you know, some, like he's flexing his muscles, you know, he's got those words there. And for a lot of us, it's like, you don't use them in everyday speech or whatever. And he's just like, you know, popping them out there and like, you know, what do you mean? Of course I said that word, you know, it's lovely to listen to. It really is. You know, I miss having conversations with people that speak like that. You know, it doesn't happen too often, and that's why it's always a pleasure to hear him, because he pulls stuff like that out that it's like, you know, that's you know, how it's supposed to be done. Great job, Titus.
Yeah, I like that you did that too. Oh, that's exactly how I felt when I was done too. Great comment, everyone, and thank you again, Titus.
Deborah.
And
Deborah.
Yes.
Deborah.
Yes, sir.
I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I have to leave.
Oh no, that's okay. I'm glad you said goodbye. I'm glad you're back, and it was fun hanging out. And hopefully,
yes,
we'll see you again next week.
I hope so. Thank you.
All righty. Night.
Good night, everybody. Bye-bye.
And Hatter, how are your eyes? Your palms on the board?
We shall see. Let me take a look.
Okay.
Okay, there it is. I think I'll be able to do it. Thank you. Why is AP's on? yeah, you know, I noticed that AP, Taylor, Dave, myself, I'll pick the same quote. Somewhere over the horizon, you dance with angels among the clouds. I have an angel. And I wrote, I try to walk, but will always run. Over the angel. It goes like this. Time has taken what once was free, those things I held inside of me. Your heartbeat I felt when passed so near. I watched the sun rise slowly in your eyes, and the moon and the stars you gave to me through the dark and the distant sky. Tell me true, was that you that called out my name? In my dreams, the echoed screams that fell with the pouring rain. I wrote a verse that made things worse. 100 ways, 1,000 times before. Among the gathered, I saw what mattered from the corner above the door. Wheeling deals within the madness, warning tomorrow of the sadness, reflections from the setting sun, shooting prisms with rainbow guns, selling dreams that comes undone. I try to walk, but I will always run back to you. And yeah, I used rainbow guns.
but how the fact that it was guns didn't even resonate, because it was just like the Hatter wants to make the girls cry kind of poetry just pulled us in, and it was just like, oh, and until you said that, it didn't like register as the rainbow gun didn't register as a bad thing. Like, it was taste of rainbow.
Yeah.
You got some Skittles.
Yeah, right.
It was a, yeah. So,
yeah.
Your heartbeat was felt and pressed so near. I watched the sun rise slowly inside your eyes, and the moon and the stars you gave to me through the dark and the distant sky. It's like, it's gorgeous, Hatter. I wrote, and this part, I have to mention this. I wrote a verse that made things worse. In 100 ways, 1,000 times before, and. You used that a few times before. I wrote a verse that made things worse, or made it worse. And I find that pretty profound, because personally, I think that your verse makes things better, not worse. and that, you know, the fact that you use it more than once, it, you know, it is a little bit sad because, but it actually, it just takes us back to that thing where, you know, where we're, you know, we're all our own worst critics, and you have no idea what a great poet you are, and that's proof in it, right, by you saying something like, I wrote a verse that made things worse. But I really like the ending, reflections from the setting sun shooting prisms from the rainbow guns. Like I said, I didn't see it as a bad thing, or like it shouldn't be there, or not even like it felt forced. It just, it fit. So like, and then the last two, I try to walk, but will always run back to you. It's like, gorgeous, Hatter. Absolutely gorgeous. Wow.
Thank you.
Brack, what you think?
I latch on to a completely different thing when I heard a verse that made things worse. It's like, you know, you said the wrong thing. It's not that he's talking about the writing. He's talking about, you know, the conversation he's having with someone, but, you know, in verse. And you know, it just made things worse. You know, I shouldn't have said it, or, you know, maybe they weren't ready to hear it or whatever it was. But, you know, it's still an emotional thought to me. The whole thing, the idea of running to someone and you know, curse you, Bryan Adams, because, you know, he forever ruined that phrase, run to you. Anyway, I like the way you used it better. the whole thing too, you know, I won't call it idolization, but, you know, just adoration of somebody, you know, it touches you in a way that's, you know, indelible, really, I think. No matter what happens, no matter how it evolves, you know, you can't get away from the fact that it was there at one point, that it was ingrained in you. And, you know, that says a lot, I think, just like your poem. Beautiful.
Now, I've got to admit, I've got to confess something. Yeah, I used repeating lines that I've used before, and you saw that, Deb. But the your heartbeat I felt when pressed so near, I watched the sun rise. I watched the sun rise slowly in your eyes. That's very close. And the moon and the stars you give to me through the dark and the distant sky. I would sing it if I could think I would thought I could do it justice. But that's basically the lyrics to the first time I saw you.
Ever I saw your face.
Yeah, your heartbeat so close to mine. And the moon and the stars were the gifts you gave to the clouds and the empty sky. Those are the lyrics. So
I
will
like
admit I
song.
Meant to put a footnote on that.
It's really a beautiful poem. It fits it really well, Hatter. Wow. You like that.
I sing it. I whisper it in the air.
Fabulous. Fabulous. All right, well, here's where we're at, guys. We have four left. Two of them are recorded, and two of them I'm going to have to read for the poets. So I figured we would do it recording, I'll read, recording, I'll read. So I put them on the board in order, and I am going to put Bill the Poet on right now. So, Hatter, if you look on the chat wall, you'll see I just posted the last four together. So if you click on
okay.
Bill's, I will push play. Cool. And here we go.
This is a poem by Phil the Poet called Brimstone and Ashes. Destruction rains down on a city covered in brimstone and ashes. Hailstones are molten crimson with the white lightning flashes. Panic ensues, the populace of a lukewarm disposition, scattered like insects by a meteorite's collision. Cursed reminders of Sodom and Gomorrah ravage the land, God's wrath spreading judgment by a wave of his right hand. Covers the earth like a darkened rain cloud ready to erupt, man has paid the price by drinking the final dregs of the cup. Society fractures, dancing lamely in a smoke-filled hall. Excrement, blood and intestines smeared on the wall. Hieroglyphic shadows paint a disturbing scene, scorched by the golden rod of an angry sun's beam. Concrete crumbles to dust, no trace of a city to be found. Streets glowing amber-red from a fiery reservoir underground. Smoke arises so that the whole world can be a witness to the downward spiral of a world in sickness. In the aftermath of a singed city purified in charcoal grey, where no one roams but the vultures feeding on the prey, the foul stench of death drifts on the wings of the wind, and in the end, days of winter are ready to begin. End poem.
Wow. Some amazing storytelling here. Heather, I did put a little clip of the art he wrote to on the board, and it's like a scene with like the city's burning, and you can see the darkness, and you can see the dark soot cloud, and you can see the burst of orange and red and yellow in the middle, in the like hot coals. And then, which makes his title perfect, Brimstone and Ashes, for starters. And right from the get-go, destruction rains down on a city covered in brimstone and ashes and hailstones of molten crimson with white lightning flashes. The bold image right there is spot on with the art. Second stanza, cursed reminders of Sodom and Gomorrah ravaged the land from God's wrath spreading judgment by a wave of his right hand. I mean, the power and the gripping reminder in that stanza is pretty profound. And then second to the last, I like, excuse me, concrete crumbles to dust, no trace of a city to be found. Streets glowing amber red from a fiery reservoir underground. I mean, like I said, the detail and imagery brings it to life. The storyline brings it to life. The art brings it to life. And I then, in case he didn't say it, he wrote two cries of demented souls echo on the wind. So, I mean, he totally did justice to the art, to the quote. And he's another poet that I really, really am thrilled that he started recording them, and he's been, pardon the pun, on fire ever since. And like, it's so awesome to get to hear him read. Another great share, Phil. What do you think, Vacantor?
This read like the destruction of Pompeii to me. I could see the volcano exploding and the city being covered in ash, and you know, echoes of Sodom and Gomorrah and all of that. And you know, they have to be, you know, paying for you know, their sins in on a scale like that. But you know, he's talking, you know, a little more grandiose than just the city, I think, in this story too. So yeah, it's wonderfully told and in a beautiful fashion. Lovely visuals, Phil. Amazing.
No, we had the show on ashes. That's not was this went for that show? Was it a holdover or?
It does match his photo, but it probably, yeah, you're right. We probably could have used it there as well. But hey, back off my poem. I'm just teasing though. But yeah, no, it would have went really well with it. But you want to go ahead and comment for him?
Yeah, you know, he had a great desperation in his voice. He read it very well. Solid, just spot on rhyme. I'm wondering if he's like me. Some days that you end up talking and your brain even speaks to his back in rhyme. Because he makes it seem like it just comes easy to him. It's just smooth. It's very easily read and a pleasure to read.
Well, whether or not it comes easy to him, I'm sure he'll probably answer you, because I know he will listen to it. But before we do the last three, I thought I would take a moment, because we just read Bill's poem, and say that next week on my show, the quotes and stuff that are going to be tied to the art are by Phil the Poet. So there's 8 different pieces of his poetry to choose from, and then some amazing, amazing art. This particular one is not by any one artist. It's just a bunch of gorgeous art that I found on Google Images. So it'd be whatever his words inspire that ties to one of the beautiful pieces of art, and I'm really looking forward to seeing what everybody does with Bill's lines. And then the next one will be in November, and that one will be Gerald Green. So we are cruising through these, and if tonight's any indication, some amazing poems are coming from the quotes of our peers. So let's do it again next week. And in the meantime, the lineup is going to be, I'm going to read. Yeah.
Permission for a poet to do that?
Yes. Oh.
We do. Okay.
Yes, of course, but I made the topic board and I sent it directly to each individual poet and made sure that I pointed out that they were part of the prompts and gave them the chance to tell me where to put my idea, and they did.
We don't have control over our members, right? Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, what I did was I thumbed through them and found some that I thought, and then they could have said, oh, well, I don't really like number 2 or whatever, but no, I would never do it without their knowledge, and I did send it ahead of time so that, not to mention, I also use people who've given us permission to be on the show in writing already, so yeah, I just tied it all together. Okay,
yeah.
So that's the little heads up about my show next week, and Rakantur, I'll read those clues to you later so we can see what you might want to put with them. Well, not today, but you know what I mean. One day this week I'll read you those and pick something to go with them. And in the meantime, if you guys would click on Miss Allie's poem, I will read hers. And then we have Rakantur's recording. And then I will read for X Blue. He wrote a xylophonic flute. It's a poem that he wrote for last week's show, and then he had a power outage or an internet outage. I can't remember, but he couldn't get through. So that's where we stand. And this poem is called A Gift in the Times of Darkness by Ali Sunshine 3. And here we go. I have written quite a few poems now, and about my past and the losses within it. But I also like to bring joy to my readers with good news. In the angels among the clouds rest my mom, my child, my best friend, and a sister I never got a chance to fully see blossom and grow. Somewhere, somehow, everyone that passed is in a better place. I'm not exactly sure how, but at least they are not struggling anymore, each in their own way. At least my mom is no longer addicted. At least she doesn't have to fight anymore to get over her addiction. She deserved better. At least my child is no longer sick. At least she doesn't have to fight anymore to stay alive, to take a breath, to keep her tiny, fragile body warm. At least my friend is no longer struggling. At least she no longer has to pretend she's all right. At least her mind finally got to break from the craziness in her life. At least my sister is safe. At least she's healthy. Now, any other person would probably feel some sadness from all that, or maybe even some anger. I'm not saying I don't, because I do every day, but I also have some positive to reflect on now when things get harder. In January, I will hopefully have another girl, a child of my own, once again. She has some health issues, but hopefully she's as strong as I have become and has enough strength to get through her rougher medical times. After all who have passed in my life, they dance with the sunflowers and the butterflies up in the above the skies every time I think about them. So they are probably having the best ball of their lives right now. End poem. And the quote that she tied it to is by Heavenly Angel is, "Somewhere over the horizon, you dance with the angels among the clouds." So on a note about the quote from Heavenly Angel, I love the fact that so many people chose that quote, but that they were carried in so many different directions as to what they brought us from that quote. That just blows me away. And as far as the poem, it's like Allie poured her hardships into it, but tried to show the brighter side. You're not addicted anymore. You're not in pain anymore. You're not struggling anymore. So sometimes with so much loss, it's really, really hard to find a bright side. And she managed to do so. And then on top of it, she blended it. I don't think she remembers that she had already said something the other night on Pretty Bird's show, but in case it was like it wasn't a fake part of the poem, she had announced that she's going to have a baby and be a mama. So she mixed the beautiful notification or announcement of her upcoming event with all of us. And I wish her and the baby tons of happiness and health and that everything goes well. And I think that you did a really great job with this. And I was honored to be your reader. And let me get you a couple comments. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah. It with her knowledge of people in her life being in a better place, hopefully she could find healing in hers. It sounds like a healing piece, right? Very personal, of course. I'd love to see Allie write of the other side when she makes peace with everything. It's a tough write. Thank you, Allie.
Awesome comment, Hatter. And Reckontor, what do you think?
Yeah, it was an emotional piece. She poured her heart out on the page, like you said. Very cathartic, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Great comment, guys. And we have two left. The next one is by Reckontor. And then I am going to mosey on over and put that
and
one
read
up. I'm going to get the quote. Just give me a second. I'm heading back over there. The quote that he wrote to is number 3. "I'm drowning in glasses of whiskey and gin, trying to wash my troubles away," by Heavenly Angel. And here it comes by Reckontor.
"Mistaking a Drink for a Shot," by Reckontor. "I may not be your cup of tea, but I can still satisfy your thirst. Take a chance, sneak another glance. First impressions are purportedly the worst. I've been told I look like 6 feet of rough road, making it easy to discern what lies within. unavoidably vulnerable to your scrutiny. Take your time and drink me in. Decide for yourself if I have substance. Don't look away or close your eyes. Everything about me is genuine. Life's too short for games and lies. Comfortable keeping my own company, observing the world as it sails through space, searching for beauty amid madness, spoken in the silence of a gentle embrace. It's all in my imagination, the melody of infectious laughter and lingering fragrance of your hair. It could so easily become real if only we weren't pretending to care. No blinding flash before the thunder crash, just facial precipitation clouding my sight, over before it ever began, disappearing like a thief in the night. Separate or together, results in the same conclusion. Fate has a cruel sense of humor, and happiness is merely an illusion. End poem.
Little movie blues in there.
You know, this is a testament to your pen, Raconteur, because you have a way of forcing the poet or the reader to feel the same things that the poet is feeling as you write, and it's always gripping, and emotion is always there. And like this one, when I went looking for stuff that you had, was a recording was already on one of my lists, and the title of that list is Strong Feelings That Pack a Punch of Sadness and Tears or Admiration and Love. And this one seems like it's got all of them combined in. I don't even know which. I've been told I look like 6 feet of rough road, making it easy to discern what lies within. I've been told there's just something about that, like, an overwhelming sense of rudeness, because even if it was true, I would never say it to you. You know what I mean? So there's something mm-hmm. there. Unavoidably vulnerable to your scrutiny. I'm still rendered speechless, even after hearing it again. It's all in my imagination, the melody of infectious laughter and lingering fragrance of your hair. It could so easily become real if only we weren't pretending to care. That's like, oh, the emotion and sadness.
I've loaded and reloaded. Did it get posted? I didn't get it.
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry. How are they all four together?
That's what I thought. I saw that, but I don't.
Okay. Well, wait a minute. I didn't realize that the board had been moved around. Wait a minute. Let me bring it back up down here. Ah, okay. I see. I'm sorry, Hatter. It wasn't there with the four. I don't know what happened, but I'm putting it there now so that you can. Okay. Let me. There it is. I don't know what happened, but there it is.
Okay.
But you look at that while I. Yeah. And down towards the end. No blinding flash before the thunder crash, just facial precipitation clouding my sight. Facial precipitation, I think that's the first time I ever heard tears, crying, worded like that. Facial clouding my sight. I mean, what a brilliant, brilliant line. And then, of course, the closing, separate or together, results in the same conclusion. Fate has a cruel sense of humor, and happiness is merely an illusion. And it's just like, all I could say when I heard it the first time was gut-wrenching and powerful poetry. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Your Hurt Locker is mighty, and I still stand by that. Excellent share. Hatter, what do you think?
Yeah, beautiful lines in it. You know, comfortable keeping my own company, observing the world. Yeah, you're a very good writer, Rack. You always have to go back and double check because you always miss something, or I always miss something. Yeah, wonderful piece, man. It's almost separated together, the results of the same conclusion. Sort of a self-examination, a little bit, I don't know.
Yeah, no, definitely. That's, to me, you know, a big part of the journey. You got to put it under the microscope. The unfortunate truth. Yeah.
Now, is that a dirty martini or a lemon or a twist? Whiskey twist.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You tripped.
Yeah.
All right, let's get these
can
last
we name
two in. Let's get these last two in, Hatter. Click on Gerald. I'm sorry, I'm never going to get used to Jerry, so it's just going to be click on Gerald's poem. And you should see the last two.
And
I just updated
it. He welcomed us to call him Jerry, refer to him as Jerry. Nice enough.
Yeah, like I said, but it's hard because I already feel like I know him as Gerald. He's Gerald, but okay.
Well,
click on
my birth name is Gerald, and I went to school and played football for years with a Jerry Green, so it's very familiar to me. Just saying.
Gerald.
Yeah.
Okay, click on Gerald's poem, and I shall push play.
Got it.
Welcome to Gerald Green Poetry. Engine 45, written and read by Gerald Green. I move the lever slowly, listen for release of steam into cold cylinders, wait for iron wheels to respond. The first chug makes me smile as the engine creeps forward, pulling 40 wooden cars, people headed west to Colorado. My fireman, already wet with sweat, shovels large chunks of coal into the crucible of motion, keeping the pressure where it is. The first clack brings assurance, proving all is well. Each section of track perfectly aligned all the way to Denver. I feel the tension of the weight, marvel at the strength of steam each time like this, when motion turns to speed. We race into the night, pistons moving, gears revolving, oil lubricating every moving part, an orchestra of steel. Clicks and clacks and chugs and hissing meld in syncopated rhythm, giving rise to speculation, itches for the young to move. I hold the lever in position, keep the flow of steam where it belongs, moving dreams across the plain. End poem. Visit YouTube for more Gerald Green poetry.
Ah, you see that? I hesitated for a second there just in case. But, okay, for starters, I have to note that when I clicked on the recording to save this, this is the one, right? Let me. I'm fairly sure, yeah. If you click on it after the show, you will get to see all of Gerald instead of just his profile. And it's nice to see him from face on the screen. Back to the poem. Engine 45, cool title. I like how we go, I move the lever slowly. listen for the release of steam and cold cylinders and wait for iron wheels to respond. And it's like vivid clear. The first chug makes me smile as the engine creeps forward. So the joy at the thought of being in that train is evident there. People headed west to Colorado. My fireman, already wet with sweat, shovels large chunks of coal into the crucible of motion. That is a really cool metaphor, the crucible of motion. The first clack brings assurance, providing all as well. Towards the end, the race into the night, pistons moving, gears revolving, oil lubricating every moving part, an orchestra of steel. Now, there's something about that phrase, an orchestra of steel, that gives this tremendous amount of respect to the train. So in the story, as it reads like a memory, like it took him back to a spot, I find it really cool, and the clicks and the clacks and the chugs and the hissing. So, I mean, there was sights and sounds, of course, but I'm struck by the way it seemed that he felt over for the train. The quote or lines by Heavenly Angel are, sit beside the ocean and listen to the music of the waves. And I like how the quote refers to the music of the waves, and his poem refers to the symphony from the train. And I like the way he played that. The crucible of motion is still calling me. I think that's a brilliant metaphor. But as always, I'm impressed. Fabulous recording and an awesome share. Thank you so much, Gerald, Jerry. And again, handsome fella. Might as well keep showing your face on there. Rock and tour, what you think?
Yeah, it was a great piece. Very nostalgic. You know, steam engines are... Excuse me. I won't say outmoded, but, you know, they're giving way to new technology, I guess. You know, bullet trains and things like that. So you could appreciate the similarities, but at the same time, the differences. And I like how he, like you said, he honed in on the rhythm of it, the music of it. Because, you know, when you're talking poetry, it's all about the rhythm.
Fabulous comments. And Chad or Jerry, want to comment on Jerry?
Yeah. First, I understand the orchestra of steel, because the steam engine was an engineering marvel. It really was for the time, and all the moving parts had to be well oiled. It's like one of the old chugger motors. Very well descriptive. It's great having guys like Jerry and Jerry Green and Titus among us, because it really humbles me and inspires me. So thank you, Jerry.
Fabulous comment, Hatter. And raconteur, an awesome poem. Gerald, thank you so much. And the last poem I will read for Xylophonic Blue. This is the one that he wrote for my show last week, and he wasn't able to call in, and it's gorgeous. So I am going to read for him. And how do you see it?
I know where it is. I see it. See it there. Let me find the group. Everything wants to jump around, you know. I wish you could prioritize at times, you know, just say, I want this priority over everything else. I, Fox, Gerald, yep, Brown and Phonic Goose. Okay.
Are you reading to the mute button?
No. I am just accidentally closed the window, and I am opening it back up again so that I can read. Okay. Sorry about that. This poem is called Shadow Landscapes by Xylophonic Blue. And here we go. Phantoms rise in bisque downwinds blown. Cadmium, her absence walks. Sound speaks incessantly how the buds unfold. Dusks incline gentle and the landscape rich. Honey airs root traces upon the chart blush. Altitude smell your hand as the arm swings, striding. Dusk, the promise in shadows, blurred, edged, flattening, projections ledge. Ridges, panoramic, clear language spans. Sand ivory mind, gazing downstream, holding my umbrella open, night-worn moon yields, moon rays, morn rays. The nature of my quest, keen blade cutting through past uncertain brambles, rust scraps under the stairs, images braided carousel, useless, given the nature of my quest. Each day, distance draws to cover anxiety, roots of language, keep my eye on the compass. I may look like a blur of speed engaging the whole field's width. Puddles, life's mind advancing an inch never to arrive. Mirror's reflection soaking up the world. Every stop a passage of sponges to the center of the eye. Definition describes the inner world's edge, water and dry land. Floret's palm, frond arrow, a declining sun. And a rest for clarity's color of a word. Vista skies, pale gray, abundantly thrown back behind the eye. Surface wind murmurs. Imagine an image. Step over the shadow. Window pane chapels whirl illusion. Twilight's midnight moon beating torrents across concrete plain. And poem. And I thought that this was between the format that always flows down the page. It's like it, maybe the wings fluttering in the wind and it's pulling you along with it. And you, it's like when you see one flying by, your it catches your eye and you can't seem to not watch it as it flies. I like, where is it? Mirror's reflection soaking up the world. Every stop, a passage of sponges through the center of the eye. Way cool. And a little bit further down at the end, and the rest for clarity's colors of a word. This disguise, pale gray, abundantly thrown back behind the eye. So I like to play on words. And where it comes from is in his art, there's a big flower, and in the center of the flower is an eye, and there's a butterfly flying over to it. So when with the repeat of the eye there, I think it brings the life into the to the right. And I like especially surface winds murmurs. Imagine an image. Step over the shadow. Window panes, chapel, world illusions. And to me, it's like listen. Stop and listen and look around, step over the shadows, walk towards the chapels with the illusions. I mean, it's just images. And I often, as I point out the amazing metaphors that Kay uses, I also think that I'm sorry, I'm losing my voice. The xylophonic blues is also a master of spinning the metaphors with stuff like the altitude, smell your hands as the arms swing. And it's just like, who would have thought? Or thus cast the promises in shadow. I mean, really awesome images throughout. Great metaphors, awesome share. Thank you for sending it in, Blue. I appreciate it very much. And let me get you a couple comments before we go. I didn't realize we went through Blue through 2 hours already. We're not even live anymore. Okay, let's get these comments. Hatter, will you comment for Blue, please?
Yeah, this is, she uses a lot, or is it a she?
She.
Confused? The he.
No,
he uses a lot. He uses a lot of the same description words I do, shadows, and I noticed the certain familiarity. He writes very well. yeah, I didn't mean it that way, but yeah, I was able to follow. It's also, you have to write a certain way where you can take the first line out of each stanza and just the first line and read it through, and it'll basically be very poetic. But you have to be able to, I don't know what the word is. I guess it's the metaphoric line that can begin or end.
Great comment, Heather. And the last poetic comment tonight goes to you, Raconteur.
Yeah, he did a great job with this. You stole my line. Not surprised. What was it? With the mirrors, that line grabbed me too. Mm-hmm. But you know, like you said, the whole thing. You know, if I had it in front of me, I could probably quote it better. You know, there was, you know, in the first couple of paragraphs, there was quite a few things that jumped out, and you know, unfortunately, it was like Homer Simpson, you know, one thing sticks in my brain and then the next thing comes along and pushes it away. So
yeah,
by the time I got to the bottom, I was trying to hang on to the other stuff and then I started to get confused. So, but I thought he did an amazing job with this stuff. Like you said, the metaphor was fantastic. The repetition of the eye was very much appreciated. You know, observational stuff like that is very philosophical and resonates with me. You know, especially when you talk about the center of the eye and sponges and things like that, you know, what you tend to absorb is very much speaks to a perspective to me. And, you know, that's what I really enjoy about it, because, you know, Hatter will see one thing, I'll see another thing, pun intended. And you know, it's just one of those things where mm-hmm. you put it in front of somebody, depending on the mood they're in, depending on the time of day and the phase of the moon, you get something different each time. If you go back and read it, like you said, you know, you say you missed it, but, you know, sometimes it's just a different emotion tickles you. You know, it's not even that you missed it mm-hmm. the first time. It's that it struck you differently each time. You know, it's really a lovely piece.
You chose the right line. Mirrors, reflection, soaking up the world. But I've never heard it that way, where a mirror will soak up a reflection, the image. That's a good
mm-hmm.
metaphor.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one stood out.
And then after he soaks it up, he uses the sponge.
That's right. Passes it on. Yeah. You wonder how much of that is planned, how much is happenstance. Me, it's always happenstance.
When I use, you know, the one metaphor, I try and incorporate the feel of it in the next one.
Yeah, yeah. There's an art to
precipitation.
Yeah, there's an art going out of a metaphor and introducing the next one without crowding them. Yeah, just the way. Time. You.
Personal style.
All right. So, on that note, amazing poetry.
Did you have the game on?
No, I actually sort of forgot why. Is it over? Do you know who won?
I didn't have it out here. Yeah, I didn't. We didn't have it out here. I just wanted.
Oh yeah, no. I got sidetracked by a few different things, so I didn't. But in the meantime, just a quick reminder that next week the quotes that are to be chosen from are written by Phil the Poet. Amazing art. And I'm looking forward to seeing what you guys come up with next week. I would like to make a special shout out to Heavenly Angel for the amazing lines. And, well, Angel, look what your lines inspired. Every single poem was just as amazing as the last one. And it's awesome to see what a few lines from your pen produced here. So thank you for that. Thank you, everyone, for writing. And thank you to my amazing board, my big brother Hatter and AP, and my sweet Bill Better. And thanks for hanging out, Raconteur. And thank you to Kay and Steven and Titus and Phil and Natalie and Gerald and the Xylophonic Blue and David. Good to have you back. I don't know what else to say. You guys inspire me. I am in awe of you week after week. It's always impressive to hear you read and to find out what you come up with. And from the bottom of my heart, I appreciate you sticking with me for over 3 years at this gig and continuing to do so. I feel very honored that you invest so much time into the poetry, into my shows. And again, you are very appreciated, more than you know. And I am going to just click us out of here. And again, thank you, Raconteur, and Hatter, best big brother ever. Night, guys. Good night, everyone.
Night, Hatter.
Feel
night, Doug.
Good night.